An atheist is someone who does not believe in God. They have no faith that there is a God. And we're going to look, the title of the message this evening is A Life Without God. A Life Without God. I've got 3 points and then an application at the end of it. My first 2 points are going to be quite negative in nature because that's what the text shows us there. And then we'll have a last point is fairly positive for the people of God, and then an application to all of us. But it's going to be a life without God. We're going to read all 6 verses. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for all that you've given to us. We thank you for your blessings upon us. Father, we're thankful that you've given us life and given us strength. Lord, thank you for allowing us to assemble together. Lord, I pray that we'd be a source of strength to one another, a blessing to one another. Lord, you'd fill us with thy Spirit. Give us ears to hear. Lord, give me a mouth to speak. Lord, our faith is in you. Our faith is in the promises of your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us and just edify us and build us up in the faith this evening. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read all six verses. And David says here in verse number 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven and saw upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and that did seek God. You want to notice the words children of men as opposed to his people in verse number 6. Okay, there's 2 groups of people here being talked about, and that's the children of men, which are people who do not have faith in God. They are not preoccupied with God, and then there are his people who do believe in God. Verse 3 says, every one of them has gone back. That would be the children of men. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear, where no fear was. For God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. So here we have David speaking here, and he's talking about a group of people that do not believe that there is a God. And he says that that is foolish. It'd be a foolish thing to believe that there is no God. That'd be a tragedy. And I know that people all over the United States and all over the world, they have that belief that there is no God. A greater tragedy would to profess faith in God, but then to live like there is no God. That would be a greater tragedy in my estimation. And there's people all over the United States and all over the world that profess faith in God, but their life does not reflect that faith that they claim to have. I have a quote here from Gilbert K. Chesterton, and he was an English writer and a lay theologian from the early 20th century. He says, the worst moment for an atheist is when he feels a profound sense of gratitude and has no one to thank. I would agree with that, and that shows the foolishness of an unbelief in God, because if there was no God, you would not have a profound sense of thankfulness, because you get that from God. Amen. You would not have anything to thank God for, because there would be nothing. And so there would be no time as well, so we would not be here. There would be nothing if there was not a God. And so Paul, the psalmist is describing God's people who are in captivity. It looks to me like they're in captivity to a people who do not believe that there is a God. They are unbelievers. And so this atheism, this unbelief by this group of people must not be a novelty. Must not be something that's new. People from the beginning of time have defied the belief of a God. And so he observes those who do not believe in God, and he gives a description of their lives, and then he gives a destiny for their lives. You can go on and believe that there's not a God, but there's going to be consequences. There will be a destiny for that. And then he prays for the deliverance of his people. But what we want to look at by way of introduction is the root cause of not believing in God. You can give all the evidence that you want for the belief in a God, empirical evidence, physical evidence, visual evidence, but if someone does not want to believe in God, they're not going to believe in God. He says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He said that on the inside. He said, there is no God. Now, why would a person believe, want to believe, that there's no God? Well, I thought of a couple of things of why someone would not want to believe that there is a God. The first thing that I thought of and why someone would not want to believe that there is a God is because that we as people are all rebels against authority. We do not like to be told what to do. We don't want someone over us dictating our lives and telling us what to do and when to do it. We want autonomy. We want to be autonomous. We have that within our nature. Every person that is born into this world wants to be their own boss. They want to be in charge of their own lives, and they resent anyone telling them what to do. I just taught the teens over here a few weeks ago, and I asked the same question to them. I said, do you like people telling you what to do? Give me a show of hands if you do. I didn't see one hand come up. I got a lot of sarcasm. They said, oh yeah, we really love people telling us what to do. They don't like people telling them what to do. And guess what? I don't either. And neither do you, if you're honest with yourself. Whenever I was growing up, you know what I didn't like? You know what I hated when I was growing up? I hated my mom and dad telling me when to go to bed. I said, okay, it's time to go to bed. It's 9 o'clock. And I was, oh, man, 9 o'clock. I don't want to go to bed. Lights out. What? I thought that I knew better and that I could govern my life. And guess what? I didn't have a clue. I needed somebody to tell me that. But every one of us born on the planet have that inclination. We don't want to be told what to do. And if you have a God, God is over you. God is telling you what to do. God is governing your life. He's pointing out things that are wrong, and people don't like that. The second thing that I thought of is why people do not want to believe that there is a God is the second reason is we love our sin. We love sin as people. Man in his natural state does not love righteousness. He does not love holiness. He does not love obedience. He doesn't love any of those things. The natural man loves sin. He loves darkness and he loves evil. When I was growing up again, and probably you as well, I didn't like to stay clean. I wanted to go outside and make mud pies. I didn't like obedience. Man in his natural state does not like obedience. They do not like holiness. They don't like righteousness, none of those things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man doesn't, for they are foolishness unto him. They don't. Again, Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. He says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They don't want someone exposing what they're doing wrong. They don't want somebody trying to correct them and reprove them. I don't like that, and neither does anybody else. Because it's our natural state. He says again, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light. That's their heart. That's their heart. Neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Your heart determines the things that you do. And people do not like to have those things pointed out. So you can show someone all, and I'm for empirical evidence. I'm for good arguments. I'm for all of those things. I'm not against all evidence. But you can show someone all the empirical evidence that you want to show them. If they don't want to believe in God, guess what? They're not going to believe in God. People believe foolish things all the time. People believe what they want to believe. You know, there's 2, 3, 4 million people today that were praying to marry, and they have no evidence for what they're believing in. It's just something someone told them. They have no evidence for that. They just want to. It's their tradition. They just want to. Now, we have plenty of evidence that there is a God. There's no lack of evidence that there's a God. Amen. Go outside and look at the big ball of dirt that you're standing on. It's round. It doesn't have big jagged corners on it. It wasn't an accident. You have a mind. You can think. You can talk. You can speak. You can hear. You can smell. You can taste. That stuff doesn't happen by accident. Your God is a thinking, rational, personal being. And He made you the same way. And He made me the same way. So there's plenty of empirical evidence. There's plenty of observable things out there in the universe. If people don't want to believe, they're just not going to believe. The Bible doesn't try to give a bunch of strong, convincing arguments that there is a God. It just states it in the first verse, in the beginning, God. I mean, after that, you find some things in there, but it doesn't. It just says, hey, there's God. He's there. And so we must believe it. Life would be empty and meaningless if there wasn't a God. It would be hopeless and chaotic without God, and it would make no sense. And the psalmist is describing a life without God, and many times, you and I as Christians have no authority, we have no opinion higher than ourselves, and we live just like an atheist. That's terrible. That's terrible. May it never be said of us here at Grace Fellowship Baptist Church that we live like an atheist. As I said before, the greater tragedy would be to profess faith in God, but then live in contradiction to that. So let's look at the psalmist's description of a life without God and what our responsibility to God is as a believer. Number one, we are going to see the description of a people without God. And it's not pretty. It's not pretty to see what the psalmist says about that. Number two, we see the destruction of a life without God, and then we're going to see the deliverance of the people of God. Number one, the description of a people without God is found in verses number 1 to 4. Verses 1 to 4. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. There is none that doeth good without God. Paul the Apostle quotes these verses in Romans chapter number 3, verses 9 to 12, and it's a description of humanity that has rejected God and rejected His Word and rejected righteousness. He says in Romans chapter number 3, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin, as it is written in Psalm chapter number 53, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. That's the state of a people that rejects the existence of a God. That's what they're like. That's a man in his natural environment. That's a man that is an unregenerate. That's an unspiritual man that he's talking about right there. What are they? They're self-centered. They are not looking outside of themselves for answers. The fool had said in his heart, it's on the inside of him. He says, I have all the answers on the inside of me. I don't need anything from the outside. I have it all right here on the inside. They're self-centered. Self-centered. He talks about that in verse number 1. They're not looking for God. They are not seeking God. They are not looking for answers to creation or morals or anything outside of the natural realm. It's all within themselves. They are self-centered. That's the description of a man or a person without God. They're self-taught. They don't want wisdom from outside of themselves. It says in verse number 2, they do not understand God. They have not been taught by God. They have no knowledge of God. They have no desire to know Him. That's the natural state of a man that does not have God. They are too concerned with self, and they are self-willed. They said, there is none that doeth good. I'm not going to follow God. I'm not going to follow what He says. I don't have to follow anybody. They're self-willed. It's all within themselves. It's not outside of themselves, it's just right here. I am my own God. I can take care of myself. I don't need God. I'm smart enough. I don't need anything from God. But the Bible says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's the description of a man or a person without God. Now, they may perform some good moral actions in their day-to-day lives. I'm not saying that they can't, but that's only by the grace of God that they're allowed to do those things. I'm getting some echo back from this microphone here. But God only counts works as good in the Bible as it is related to God. If our motives are not for God, if they're not to glorify God, then God doesn't count those works as good. As good. The Bible speaks many times about good people in the Bible, but they're only good in relation to what they've done for God. The spirit that is inside of them. That's the only way that they're considered to be good. I thought about a life without God and what it's like. A life without God is like a ship without a captain. It's like a book without complete sentences or chapters. It's like playing a game without hope of ever winning. There's no hope outside of God. We have 10,000 years of human history to see what man can do on the earth. And it's nothing but wars and killing and hatred. Amen. And all of those things. Amen. You reject God and we have no place to go but down. We are not inherently good. We are not inherently good. But a life without God does have a destiny. There is a place that you're going if you reject God. And the Bible tells us that it's destruction that we have if we neglect God and reject God. It's destruction. We see that in verse number 5. The destruction of a people without God. It says, there they were in great fear where no fear was. Now these men, these people that have rejected God, they met up with God. Previously they had not feared God, but then they got to the place where they did meet God and they met some fear right there because God had got a hold of him. God had got a hold of those people and they met destruction and then there was fear. So the pathway for the unrighteous and those who would reject God is not upward and onward. It's not getting better and better. Amen. It's getting worse and worse. It's not, as Charles Darwin theorized, that we become better or evolve into something better as time progresses. No, we go down, down, down without God. Amen. We see how destructive that these people are that we read about right here. Number one, we see that they are self-destructive. They're only destroying themselves. It says in verse number 3, every one of them has gone backwards. They went backwards, not forwards. If you leave God and you reject God, you're not going to progress and get better. You're going to go backwards. You're going to go back if you reject God. That's self-destruction. Self-destruction. They are self-destructive. They don't progress and go forward. They go backwards and it's full throttle all the way backwards. That's the destruction of the people of God. It says in verse number 3, they have become defiled and do abominable acts of sin. They are altogether become filthy. When you reject God, you defile yourself. Self-destruction. A sinful person cannot clean themselves up. That's like if you get your face all muddy, you get dirt all over it, then you pick up a muddy rag and try to wipe off your face and clean it up. What happens? You just end up kind of smearing the mud around. You can't really clean it up. Same way with a person. We defile ourselves and we get all muddy and nasty and dirty and we try to clean ourselves up, but we can't do it because we are sinful people. We cannot clean ourselves up. We have to have something from the outside, an outside source to come in and to clean us up. If we don't, we'll just become more defiled. We must have God to clean us up. Self-defilement. It says in Job chapter 14 and verse number 4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Not one. We have that filthiness and that defilement from our birth. And so we see that we are self-destructive. Not only that, they destroy other people, it says in verse number 4. who eat up my people as they eat bread. They use other people for self-gain and self-advancement. What do? They use other people to step as a stepping stone so they can make their lives better. They're not trying to build other people up. They're trying to destroy other people, and that's what they're doing here in this chapter. And then finally, destruction for the rejecter of God is at the end. They will meet God, and then they will find destruction, as we read in verse number 5. There they were in great fear where there was no fear. They lived their whole lives without fear of God, and then when they got to God and they met Him, then they found the fear. So they will meet destruction from God. Well, life without God only has one destruction, only one direction, and that way is down. Back in the late 1800s, creationism was the teaching in public schools until Darwin's theory of evolution became widely accepted and taught. And then Darwin's theory of evolution was the one that was taught in our schools, in our society. Since then, our country has not progressed upward. It's gone down, hasn't it? Murders have gone up. Divorces have gone up. Teen pregnancy has gone up. All those different things. Why? Because we have rejected God. We said, hey, we came from apes. We're going to get better. We're not going to get worse. But yet we've gone down and we've got worse. Since our country has rejected God, it has progressed downwards and not upwards. I read a story about Voltaire. Voltaire was an atheist some long time ago. He said, it took 12 ignorant fishermen to establish Christianity. I will show the world how one Frenchman can destroy it. Setting to his task, he openly ridiculed Sir Isaac Newton.